Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're on the air. I have with me right now my co-host, Neil. How you doing, Neil? Neil decided to take a nap at 4 o'clock and woke up like 10 minutes ago.
First of all, I started the nap at 7.
Oh, well, that makes it better. And with us is our Latino correspondent, Miguel Garza. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir.
Okay, we were supposed to talk about King of the Hill, and I had a retention of it. I didn't know Dallas started last night. And as I was saying in the pre-show chat, I can't remember the last time I've watched anything where I had such intense opinions on every single scene. And
yes,
I can't see myself watching.
Literally, it was a cascade of emotions.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you become frustrated because you're watching characters. Okay, let's get to the first part. The last season of Dallas had an incest ending, which I predicted. Mind you, I predicted this on 10 other shows, and I was wrong most of them.
You know, Dallas has set the incest bar pretty high.
Yeah, so at this point, all right, they reveal, okay, recapping by not following. Last season ended where they revealed that Christopher's wife was Cliff Barnes' daughter. That makes her Christopher's cousin. Now, they're not kind of relatives by blood, but it seems to me that if you change somebody's diapers, you should be whoring your daughter out to them.
Yeah, it's all kinds of wrong.
Okay, so let's get into Now, also at the end of the season, I hate almost everybody but Bobby and JR.
Pretty much.
Bobby looks so miserable. Bobby looks like he wishes he was dead.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We didn't get a follow-up on how he's doing physically.
Yeah, it's like they had... they did follow one logic thread. The whole thing about the kidnapped daughter, they did... Bobby Ewing P.I. came out of retirement briefly.
Yeah, it was like, that was a twist that I wasn't quite, like, on board with. I was hoping it would be something a little more exotic than, oh, Harris just kidnapped his daughter, that's all.
Now, what I was hoping was is that it was going to reveal that she had a one-night stand with Cliff over 20 years ago, and the daughter belongs to Cliff.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, you know,
he's got his fingers in enough pie.
Yeah, well, you know, Brenda Strong was on an episode of Dallas briefly in, like, 87 as a one-night stand Cliff had that never got mentioned again.
Oh, jeez.
But the main thing is, again, this is where... So Christopher's trying to get an annulment from his cousin, Rebecca. And he's talking about how he's having to do all this lawyering wizardry to get rid of her. And here it is! Your cousin tricked you into marrying her! There's your annulment!
Yeah, and I didn't really care much for the sassy attitude from the sassy fat black judge. She seemed like she was just a little bit too pleased with herself.
And I need to mention this. I also mentioned this about how I really hate Elena and Christopher especially. Just because, you know, Elena's acting like that she did nothing wrong to John Ross at all.
Oh, yeah, just trampled his heart. Yes, he was a dick, but, yeah, I trampled his heart, but it's okay.
I mean, he lied to me in an unrelated family matter that's really none of my business.
My family is the help, after all.
Yeah, it's like, you know, she betrayed him so quickly twice last year. And now they're just getting married, you know. Now they're just getting married, and she's like, she doesn't consider it any big deal. And I remember, you know, it broke my heart when I saw John Ross betting this one girl, and then the guy said, but they're in love, and he said, love's for pussies, and you could see the pain in his eyes.
Yeah, it was like Ralph Wiggum after Lisa broke his heart, where you could see the exact moment.
That's
it, just like that.
Actually, was the judge more like Constance Harm? You know, the normal judge be like, well, JR be JR. New one comes in, all right. I'm going to set an example.
And to settle this in court, and then, you know, again, John Ross is going to all this trouble to prove that this woman, you know, that she changed her testimony, and he doesn't even try the cousin angle. And, you know, as we were talking about, the old show would have at least acknowledged this. You know,
that would have
shut
down.
Right, that's exactly, you know. And it was just, she had this moment where she's like, I had to change my name because I knew your family would never accept me, and I wanted Bobby to say, because you're his fucking cousin!
Your dad is my dead mother's brother.
Yes, it's like, you know, I mean, even if it's not my blood, that's it's weird, because, you know, Cliff raised Christopher, or helped raise him, you know, so it's like, they don't really, again, I'm kind of turning on the show, and I honestly can't see myself sticking past this season.
Yeah, I don't even want it to go past this season.
Yeah, I don't either, and go get to another point, you know, Larry Hagman, he was awesome last night. I mean, he just really saved the show.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like literally every scene that he was in came right after a scene with a character that just did something incredibly stupid, and you're like, oh, thank God, JR's here to fix this.
Yeah, and I like you know, did you get the feeling JR really wanted to fuck Cliff's daughter? I mean, it was like, it's like, you know, I feel like he'd end up shouting out Cliff's name during sex. Which would be very awkward, except it would turn her on even more.
Yeah, I was like, that's the one score that JR hasn't quite been able to settle, and what better way to settle it than by banging his daughter?
Cliff's like, bang my kid, will ya? Well, two can play that game. Oh, come on, John
come
Ross,
here.
Take off her coat.
Let's do it, John Ross.
You know, I was almost your daddy. they showed us some clips from this season. I had this idea that they're going to go with something where John Ross becomes Cliff's apprentice.
Yeah, I was like, when I saw something like that, I was like, oh, no, please don't do that.
I don't know, I get the feeling, the thing I like about John Ross right now is that he's kind of going scorched earth on everyone.
He's a wounded animal. He's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's like he doesn't care if he fucks over JR. It's like he doesn't even, he don't care about nothing. Like he's feigning concern for Sue Ellen. Like, you know, it's like, well, you changed my diaper once when I was a baby, so they're there.
I just want John Ross to say, it'd be just like a nice heartwarming scene with him and Sue Ellen where he just goes, Mama, why did you drink when you were pregnant with me?
Oh, honey, it was in all the newspapers.
You got into a car accident when you tried to skip out of rehab with me in your womb.
That's another thing I'm wondering. How is this going to sink Sue Ellen's bid for governor with all this shit?
Yeah, when they opened up with her talking about her 12-point lead, I was like, oh, okay, so she's not going to get elected.
Yeah, she's just, you know, they're going on with this. And I kind of like the way JR's walking around. JR kind of seems like a bored old man. Like, he doesn't really give a shit about a lot of this stuff. He's just doing it to amuse himself.
Oh, God, the whole scene with him, with the district attorney, that was just perfect, where he walks out onto the golf course.
Yeah, he has the candy with him. You know, another thing to mention is one of my favorite parts was when Anne's talking about how much losing her baby meant to her, and you can see Sue Ellen is unable to think of anyone caring about their child. Because, you know, she has the motherly instincts of a cat. So she's just kind of nodding her head like a person mimicking human emotion.
I think my favorite thing about this last episode was actually after the episode where it said, and like where certain things we're going to see, and then it showed a picture of Lucy, and I literally went, oh, God!
I mean,
it was
like
this for 2 seconds.
Yeah, you know, I said this last, you know, another thing I said last night, honestly, at one point, Dallas, Rawls' writing, I think it's more solid than Dallas's in a lot of places. And that breaks my fucking heart to even say that out loud.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they had on Raw Prince Albert dancing in a negligee.
You feel like that character is just, like, being trolled. And, like, it's like somebody backstage hates him.
Yeah, that has to be it. It's like, I don't even understand why, you know. They call him from Japan, you know, where he's got a steady gig and then brings him over here, and it's like, you know, because he didn't get over magically in, like, a month or two, he's being punished. And, you know, like, they'll do this thing where he gets beat now by, like, you know, somebody, like, he'll be beat by Kofi Kingston, like, well, this is a huge upset. Why? He's lost to everybody, except for Zack Ryder. He squashed Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I heard something interesting today about the reason why they did the abrupt face turn for Alberto Del Rio and then gave him the title.
Why is that?
And it has, well, the UFC, when they had that fight a couple, I think it was last month, it was Cain Velasquez beat Junior Dos Santos for the heavyweight title. And they were, UFC was talking about how well it did with the Latino market. Supposedly Vince saw that and said, well, we have one of those.
What, you mean Ray? No, fuck him.
Yeah, no, nobody's going to get behind a midget.
Well, you know, the thing with Ray is, they fucked him over on a drug test last year when he was injured. They popped him with a surprise drug hit test while he was rehabbing, and I was trying to think, who are they outsmarting with this? Because I'm thinking, you know, you realize that if Ray goes to Mexico, he's going to make a shit ton of money for a lot less work.
Seriously, I mean, with as bad as his knees are, I mean, shit, if he went to any of the, like, the two big promotions down there, he would be living like a freaking king down there.
Yeah, or hell, he could just feel like Santo and promote his own shows.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, so basically, Dallas was very frustrating because, okay, like, they wouldn't answer his question, like, here's my big question, why does Sue Ellen have alcohol in her house?
That's what I asked my wife. That was the first thing I said. I said, wait a minute. If she's a recovering alcoholic, why have a bottle of wine in your house?
I don't know. Has she lived on South Fork that long that she can't imagine a house not having alcohol?
I just love how JR, the first thing, or and John Ross, too, the first thing they do when they walk in a room is pour themselves a drink.
Yeah, just walking back. Okay, I did like the hate sex between Rebecca and John Ross.
That was pretty great.
You know, it's like this. You piece of shit, you skanky whore!
I wanted it to devolve into, like, name-calling. You're short. Yeah? Well, you've got a scar between your eyes. Yeah? Well, your mother was an alcoholic. Yeah? Well, your mother's dead. And then they just make out.
Yeah, well, no, they keep arguing like this, like, your mother's an alcoholic, your dad fucked my mom! It's like, there's so, you know, again, I kind of enjoyed it in a lot of ways. It's like, this was a show I was not really connected to in any way. I'd probably be enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah, we've got that emotional investment, though.
Yeah, it's kind of like Raw in 99. It's like, you can get past caring about most of it, it's actually very entertaining. You know, because they were just, they were just going through stuff, and it was just bugging the piss out of me how they would just ignore so many points, and it's not like they're ignoring you for a later twist, they're ignoring you just hoping the audience doesn't notice.
Seriously, if you were trying to get an annulment from someone you didn't know was your cousin, the first thing you would mention is that she is your cousin.
Yeah, that'd be like the first thing that would come up. It's like, I don't even know how they get around it. I mean, I guess they said they're not related by blood, but it's still weird. I don't even know. Can you get an annulment if the wife is pregnant?
Well, I mean, if you could show that the marriage was built on a false premise, yeah. Regardless of whether she's pregnant or not.
I feel bad for Tommy's sister. It's like, you're going to help me find Tommy, right? And people are kind of like, sure, just sign this.
When Rebecca drops her off that bag of money and she opens it up, I was like, oh, she's going to buy all of the meth with that money.
Yeah, it's like that, you know, she just left the bag. It's like, this is more money. I just want to help you out, Saul. Actually, you know who my favorite new character is? Cliff's apprentice, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that was a good twist.
Yeah, that dude right there, because, you know, he was the one that did the cleanup on that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually my new favorite character. I would hope the show would revolve around him, because he seems like for some reason this show is reminding me of something like Star Wars Clone Wars. You know, there's no real Jedis on the show. There's like I guess Christopher would be like an Anakin type shithead Jedi. And, you know, Bobby's would be like Obi-Wan, a guy that's just so very, very tired and doesn't really know how to train this shithead to not be a shithead.
Well, you know, the more you think about it, there are some ties between, like, I don't know, between John Ross and Anakin. I mean, they both have, you know, absentee fathers. Their mothers both had their own issues to deal with.
Yeah, one of the things was when the part when they're arguing over the oil rig, they're arguing over buying the fleet of trucks, and the argument's going, and they both look at Bobby, and Bobby looks like he just wants to die.
Yeah, he just does not give a shit less.
Like, he obviously wants to take John Ross's side.
Yeah, that had to be hard for him.
Yeah, I can't really explain. It's like Christopher is everything bad about Pam concentrated in one human being.
Yeah, I fully expect Christopher to, like, start trying to somehow cheat on his father.
He's hanging out with another dad.
Hey, thanks, new dad.
Yeah, it's like Bobby just, I mean, I feel like there's a story with Bobby because, you know, you look at him and JR and you see JR still has a zest for life, and Bobby just wants to live the very quiet life of a cattle rancher.
And yet he keeps getting dragged into shit that his family does.
You know, they just keep dragging it. And again, and the big part of this is Miss Ellie's fault about the wheel, about the oil. She should have just said, once I'm dead, drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, the worst part for Bobby is he gets no respite. I mean, it's like he deals with his nephew and his son and the girl all day. Then he goes home to his batshit insane wife.
Yeah, and oh yeah, she knows that she's on dope.
Yeah.
It inspired me to take two pills last time myself, and my excuse was TV told me to do it. I don't know, Ann Ewing takes pills, and she seems pretty with it. She managed to snag Bobby. I actually do like the Ryland guy.
Oh, yeah, dude, this character, he's the best bad guy on the show that's not a Ewing right now.
Yeah, it's like he's kind of carrying it. The only thing is, in this digital age, Dynavil destroy every copy of the tape. It doesn't quite work in this day and age.
No. And that was the other thing I was thinking. I was like, as soon as they handed him the tape, I was like, okay, well, not only is Sue Ellen not going to win the governorship, now she's probably going to end up even going to jail. Or she still has a copy of it, and I start thinking about it. I go, no. She still plays by that old set of morals that would say, no, I'm really giving him the only copy of it.
And also this whole thing where basically JR, I want JR to get a hold of the tape and play it while making an announcement that Edgar Randolph is a pedophile.
While punching the corpse of Jeremy Wendell.
somehow doing whistleblowing on Walt Driscoll.
And then the last thing he does is pull a single shot Derringer out and just bullseye Cliff.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if he would kill Cliff or if he would shoot him in the spine.
I could see him just grabbing Cliff. Like, they have, like, some dramatic scene on at the top of a building, like a skyscraper, like, at the top of the Ewing Energy's building, and then JR just grabs Cliff and jumps off of the building.
Yeah, you know, hearing them argue, and I probably said this before, but do you remember when the hobo was living with the Simpsons and he started arguing with Grandpa?
Yeah.
That's how Cliff and JR seem when they're actually arguing directly now. I don't even think Cliff knows why he's mad now. I think Cliff's just lived with Hank so long it's all he knows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, whatever, like, good guy that he was, like, the first three or four seasons where he may have been a little idealistic, but he was legitimately a good person, that died. That Cliff is long dead.
Yeah, there's not even a shadow of that Cliff.
It's like, when he first lost the election, and I just remember the scene, it's like, I think it's from, like, season three, and he's sitting there, he's like, you can tell he hasn't shaved in days. His, like, hair's all messed up, and then someone rings the doorbell, and he gets up off his couch, he goes, yay, pizza time.
Well, you know, and the thing about Cliff is, it seemed to me Cliff's biggest issue was that he never came to terms that he hated his father.
Yeah, he, like, as much horrible shit as JR did, you know, Digger was a bad person, like a legitimate bad person. He didn't even, at the very least, JR at the end of the day could say he was trying to defend his family. Digger didn't give two shits about his family.
Yeah, he didn't. It's like, you know, and it's like, if anything, Cliff should be able to identify with John, which they did that once near the end of the show, where Cliff tried to help this old wino.
Yeah.
And the old wino pulled a gun on him. You know, and I keep hoping they're going to explain this, and I can only, the last time something made me this frustrated watching Dallas, the old Dallas, was the Haleyville story arc.
Yeah, they didn't really do a very good job of tying that together.
Yeah, that whole thing right there, you know, then that old sheriff comes to Dallas and JR lets him leave. I mean, the JR from the first seven seasons would not have allowed that. That guy, I mean, he might let the old man live, but he wouldn't be walking straight.
Yeah. You know, what JR would have done, the old JR would have said, oh, yeah, then you know what? Everything's fine. You can go about your business. And then once they got about 2 miles out of city limits, some of his guys would have pulled up behind him and run him off the road.
Another nice thing about the show that I like how JR refuses to acknowledge that Cliff is his equal now.
Well, not just his equal. Cliff could buy and sell JR 10 times over.
Yeah, he will not acknowledge this. Yo, know, JR's like, you know, it reminded me of something like, you know, when Saddam Hussein was on trial, and he'd be yelling at the judge, and you kind of believe Saddam Hussein is in charge just because of the way he carried himself. Yeah, you know, I was meaning to talk about King of the Hill. Like I said at the beginning, I really was meaning to because the guy just got done marathoning it. I feel like in some ways the King of the Hill was a lot like Dallas, as far as, but in an animated sitcom form. I mean, especially the first few seasons when they had cliffhangers.
Yeah, you could definitely tell where there are some, like, Dallas, definite heavy Dallas influences, and, like, just how over-the-top some of the characters are.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, one thing I was surprised about when I was watching is that the last few seasons of King of the Hill were some of the best ones they did, like, way better than the ones after Toby from The Office left. Which, those
were still
why? Pretty good.
They didn't give a shit. They didn't give a shit anymore. They had, like, how many times were they told the show was canceled and then they were brought back? You know, it's like, it got to that point where Mike Judge is like, you know what, screw it. Let's do what we want to do.
They were kind of doing like the old, they were doing a lot more continuity stuff like they did in the early seasons. And again, there's nothing wrong with the middle seasons of King of the Hill. There's really not. It's still a very good show.
Yeah, it's It's that rare animated show that never really got into a rut.
Yeah, it's just, you could tell there were places where they were taking, because Mike Judge talked about this in an interview where he said that they were taking liberties with Hank.
Yeah.
The writers were. He said he felt like they weren't laughing with Hank, they were laughing at him.
Yeah,
and
they definitely
writers,
turned him into the butt of the joke.
Yeah, and this kind of got pulled back, because I remember the episode where it seemed to be at its apex, and Neil can vouch for this. Neil, you remember the Rose episode?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bobby's growing the roses, and again, Hank also became kind of abusive toward Bobby in episodes. Like, and as Neil pointed out, Hank's actually very, very, very patient with Bobby.
Well, yeah, if Bobby was my kid, I would have beat his ass.
Yeah, I do like the idea that every time Bobby, you get the feeling that when Bobby turns 15, he's going to have a sudden growth spurt and be very dangerous. Like, have you ever noticed when Bobby gets into fights, he can actually, he's beat up Joseph multiple times.
I love the one where he does the, like, rape prevention self-defense.
Yeah. And I remember at the end of that episode, that was such an irresponsible lesson for Hank to teach Bobby. You know, because if you're a kid, you know, especially a kid like Bobby that's going to be picked on, you tell him to take away the only weapon he has to protect himself. Now, the way my father always taught me about fighting was, fuck the loser. You know, which is one of multiple lessons. And I'm glad he told me these things, because he said the other person, he would tell me the other person's not going to fight fair.
That's right.
You know, and that's what Hank told Bobby, and that Bobby's going to get the shit kicked out of him. So I believe Bobby kicking people in the nuts kind of stayed around him, so people wouldn't be quite as anxious to jump in.
The one thing I didn't like about how they wrote Bobby was, like, sometimes he was just, like, the least athletic kid on Earth. And then it was like, but here's the sport he's miraculously good at. And it's like, stick with one or the other.
Well, I remember the episode with the dog dancing, which I think I liked that episode. But, Bobby's doing these dance moves, and it's like, that's pretty fucking athletic what he's doing.
I think, like, the first time I legitimately, like, understood the Bobby Hill character was when he did the plus-size modeling. And I was like, oh, no, he's just really tragic.
Yeah, it's like, he kind of reminds me of myself when I was younger. In a lot of ways, because I would kind of do stuff like that, except I think even when I was a little kid, I kind of had this deranged psycho thing about me. But, like the whole thing where he'd be wearing a cape or stuff, that's the type of thing I would definitely do when I was a kid.
Just for no good reason. Just wear a cape.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need a reason to wear a cape. I bought a cape at Halloween like 2 years ago. I wore it everywhere.
Like that Seinfeld episode where he sees his lawyer across the street, but he doesn't go say hi to him because he's wearing a cape.
Yeah, it's like, you wear a cape, and it's like you're wearing a cape, you feel like nobody can fuck with you.
I'm just worried that hipsters are going to bring back capes and ruin it.
Man, that's one of those things that you're doing. What'd you say, Neil?
It's like fedoras.
Exactly, like fedoras.
Well, I have to keep wearing mine because I'm not giving it up.
My pork pie hat that I wore with my Breaking Bad costume, and I keep looking for opportunities to wear it again, but they haven't presented themselves.
Yeah, I just usually wear mine. Unfortunately, I can't quite find, my hat fits, and they say it doesn't look strange, but it feels so tight, and then I always ask, how did my skull get so fat?
I'm a short guy, but I wear a really big hat for some reason, and then I seriously measured my head one day, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm hideously deformed.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what it is. Like, I've got this thick part of my forehead, and I've never figured out what it is, and I sometimes swear to God that I have a mild form of acromegaly.
On the plus side, I'm going bald, so my horrifically misshaped head is, like, on full display for everyone to see now.
Yeah, you gotta own it. You gotta, like, me and Neil had this discussion, because, you know, Neil's, chances are Neil's going to go bald soon. If his dad and brother are any indication. And I told Neil, and I was kind of laughing. Neil said, "What are you gonna do when you shave your head? When you get, if you go bald?" I said, "I'll just shave my head like I've been doing for 5 years."
Yeah, I mean, I've always had short hair, so it's like it didn't really. It kind of snuck up on me a little bit, but I kind of stayed ahead of it just by keeping it short enough to where people are like, "Oh, no, that could just be part of his scalp." No, that's actually a silver dollar size bald spot on the back of my head. But thank you for noticing.
Yeah, it's like my hair is actually very thick. Ever since I was a kid, like, I could actually put a pick in it. And I went to the barber, and I told him to cut it all off, and my barber is bald. And he was cutting my hair, and he just said, "This is painful to do." Because I'm just like, just cut it all off. I don't care. Okay, so now what
I'm... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you finish.
No, we've talked too much about hair. Go ahead.
Well, the hair musical. What is that musical about? I just know the name. I don't know anything else about it.
That's more than I know about it.
Yeah, I just know the name of it. So, looking at Dallas, you know, this season, and again, I'm not really sure why they moved it to Mondays, unless it was to save me from the first hour of Raw.
Monday Night War is all over again.
It kind of is, because this is the first time I've ever thought of not, you know, usually I'll just watch Raw or turn to King of the Hill if it's really bad.
Well, someday when we have the rise and fall of Dallas, then Vince McMahon will say, "Well, if you have a network and you could program anything you want, why would you program Dallas directly against us unless you were trying to hurt us?"
And they would have this black and white footage of JBL saying that they were ripping off the popular J.R. Ewing character. The Who Shot Santino storyline. So, okay, you watch some of the shoot-style Japanese wrestling, like Battle Arts, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Santino actually wrestled in Battle Arts.
What's that? JBL did?
No, Santino.
Oh. Oh, wow,
yeah,
I
like
didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's actually a legit judo guy.
Oh, yeah, I knew about that. I knew he was, like, legit judo, but I didn't know he did anything over.
Yeah, he wrestled in Japan some. Yeah, he wrestled in Japan some, and I keep hoping they're going to do a storyline where Santino gets hit on the head and turns into a killer. And he would mention the last thing he remembers is fighting this large Samoan who drove his butt, who drove his ass directly into his face.
All right, hey, fellas, I got to drop out, so I'll talk to you later.
That's our Hispanic correspondent, Miguel Garza. All right, Neil, is there anything you'd like to talk about?
So, well, you took my bit and put it on Facebook about 16 and
I did no such thing. That was my bit.
No, it's my bit.
Man, it's not like you have proof of it.
Really?
Yeah, I gave you
Twitter post from Outback.
I gave you the ideal several weeks ago. And you said, "Hey, you said, can I put it on Twitter?" And here it is. I'll just repeat it now. I called an episode of 1600 Pin. I didn't know NBC brought back Corey in the house. Okay. Just going in a little more about King of the... We'll actually do a full King of the Hill episode next week, providing Dallas doesn't infuriate me again, which it most assuredly will. Let's talk about some stuff I've been doing. You know, Neil, I recently beat Castlevania.
No, you didn't.
Made all the way to Dracula.
No, I did.
Yeah, I beat Rondo of Blood.
No, you did not.
Neil, have you been playing anything else lately?
Nope, no, not really.
So you know, Saturday, Power Rangers Megaforce premieres.
Wait, that should be this early?
February 2nd, that's about usually the time these things will premiere. I'm actually going to check it out because I'm hoping they brought back Zordon. It's kind of making me think they are because a lot of their emblems look like Zordon.
It's going to be the same voice, or they're just going to get whoever they can.
They're going to get a sound alike because I don't. They're going to get a sound alike. I think they had bad blood with the old one. As far as I can remember. But yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it because, you know, they're going to tie this in with the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers and the Gokaiger Sentai anniversary season. And what I really want them to do is when they show the old Sentais, is to show like the 70s Zordon and Alpha. Like Alpha's got a giant afro.
They have a big giant afro and like punk style music and bell bottoms.
Yeah, Alpha has the bell bottoms. Zordon has the dreadlocks. Oh, yeah, 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 baby! Oh, that's my 70s Alpha voice. So, Neil, are there any comics you're looking at, any video games you're looking to buy soon?
Well, they finally got to bring out that last Japanese RPG type game that people have been wanting for, like, Operation Rainfall. That should be this March or April. So I did look, it's actually going to be slightly discounted price. It's only going to be like at least 40, or at least that's what Amazon's listing it.
Okay, maybe we can look into it soon. Or look into talking about it anyway. I'm trying to beat, we're going to do a Ninja Gaiden show if I ever beat Ninja Gaiden 2. I'm currently on last level, and it is very, very difficult. The only thing I would put ahead of it would be that one section in Ninja Gaiden 1. You know the one.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think. Is there any Ninja Gaiden that is easy other than basically spamming a whole bunch of quarters in the arcade version?
I really can't think of one, no. That part of Ninja Gaiden 2 is so, so very difficult. The only thing I think of off the top of my head that's harder would be the final dungeon on Zelda 1.
I don't think the first dungeon of Zelda 1 is particularly hard. It's more just confusing. It's more likely to slightly get you with, like, little hits there, here and there while you're trying to wade through.
No, it's the final dungeon.
Well,
no, the final dungeon
first quest,
son of a
quest.
Bitch. No,
like,
it has, like, a bunch of... There was one room that was filled with Iron Knuckles and Wizrobe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just evil.
No, more evil is something they do in the second quest. There's Blue Iron Knuckle, there's the Wizrobes, there's those like-likes that eat your shield and everything. Plus, they have those bubbles that take away your sword, and you had to go to another room entirely to get your sword back.
Yeah, it's a son of a bitch. I mean, it really is a son of a bitch. I don't know how children beat it on their own. Beat that game without assistance.
Like the old-fashioned player's guide that came with it?
Yeah, my uncle told me that it took him 4 months to beat the original Zelda. So, you know, I'm assuming that was just, you know, working on your own, feeling your way through the dungeon, hoping to get somewhere with it. Another thing, you know, we're almost out of time because I mean, we're just kind of dicking around as we're trying. We're definitely going to be getting on a regular schedule with these shows. We'll be doing an episode next week where hopefully we do King of the Hill, like I said. After that, we might be doing a Spider-Man episode because we never really got around to doing that.
Oh, guess what I heard today?
What's that?
You know that terrible iOS Rockman Zover game that's barely a game?
Yeah.
Well, basically because due to the fan outcry, they're not even going to bother bringing that to the U.S. right now.
Are they going to try to do a good game?
Victor, you know how Capcom is. You know they're not.
I know. Just wishful thinking.
Yeah,
all right,
kind of like
then.
Don't Cry game. The best you could say for it's like, well, I guess it kind of plays like a lukewarm version of the Devil May Cry with a worse story.
I never played the Devil May Cry games. This was before I had a PS2, and after that, I just never bothered to look for it.
Well, this one didn't have the story feel of it. Like the first ones are basically kind of somewhat goofy with how they did the story. This one's trying to be dramatic at points, but it has like an abortion with a bullet.
What?
Okay. They at some point they're having like the it's like a weird They Live but with demons instead of aliens. That's basically the plot of the game. And at some point they're trying to trade like the evil demon lady that basically has, the Antichrist in her. And they're basically swapping people who they kidnapped, each prisoner. And there's this character named Virgil that's kind of like a slightly, it's more like the Vegeta to Dante's Goku. And he has a rifle during this whole prisoner exchange, and just shoots the demon carrying the Antichrist in the belly. Gives her enough time to realize what happened, then shoots her in the head.
Wait, the woman?
And Dante basically rubs it into the evil guy, saying his son basically turned into wet chunks. And this is Dean quality writing from America.
Okay, so wait a minute. The woman was evil.
Yeah, and it turns out that didn't quite kill her because they have a big boss fight with the baby that shouts, fuck you.
I don't know. You know, if I was in an RPG, I'd kind of be like, can you just release the actual monster so I can fight him? We know killing you's not going to do any good, so can you just release it now and we'll fight both of you at the same time? All right, well, you take some of the fun out of this.
Oh, that Fire Emblem game's coming out pretty soon. Someone said that certain stores already broke Street Date.
Okay, so is this 103 yes?
Yeah, I did hear that some people kind of... The only thing that people say that Pooper would be like the hardcore kind that basically hate the fact that there's somewhat of a easier mode that means that doesn't have permanent death. So it feels more like a Shining Force than it does, super hard.
Oh, that might be worth looking into. Oh, wait, I don't have a 3DS anymore. No, wait, is it a 3DS or a DS?
3DS.
It's out on. Okay, I need to look into that. All right, everyone. Sorry you are dicking around. We're out of time. We will be back next week. Good night.